I told people, you know what I told people? I said, believe it or not, I feel as bad as I look. You know, I still got, still coughing. But I'm, you know, supposedly I feel good, at least. I don't feel, don't turn on yet. Listen, Shabbos, I walked by, I went up to certain people in Teaneck, and I said, how's my favorite in-laws? Yeah, so. I saw your wife in the paper, giving blood. Yeah, she's getting some good play. I read in the equivalent of the National Enquirer in El Salvador, saw an expose of Dan.
Yeah. So how was your football game?
Yeah, not good.
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it, though. It was a good game.
It was a good game
on Sunday. But my
and now it turns out that he might have been
that doesn't, come on. You just suck
your
it up.
Your
you suck it up. You're making that kind of money, you suck it up. You know?
Your quarterback has to take a huddle every time because he can't move anymore.
That's ridiculous.
The only reason they're not doing no huddle, I mean...
What can we do?
Okay. That's why you come here when you're sick, because you're making so much money from my year.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
See, dedication.
Yeah.
No,
it's that. It's that free parking. It's that free parking.
Terrell Owens, at least.
He was a hero. He was a hero.
Great game by
him. He was a hero.
He will. Yeah. Everybody has to.
And you can take out library books and never get back.
And then the commercial.
That's true.
We enjoyed the Bear and Burt Reynolds.
Jeff is called me and he said he's coming, so I want to wait just a minute.
That's okay.
Okay.
You can still come and talk to Zohar. You're Zohar Day.
What were you saying? Were you a bad man in Zohar?
No. I said I had my flirtation. With it years ago. I bought the Sulam. I was in my 20s.
Well,
I was foolish.
You have the Sulam still? I'll take it off your hands for free.
Free? I wouldn't.
I'll give it $10.
No, you got to pay a little more than that.
$20.
You know, it's got my notes in it.
Oh,
know?
Okay.
Someday the...
Okay, $50.
But of course, you know the famous comment of Professor Lieberman.
About Shalom.
When he introduced Gershon Sholem. Yes. He stood up at a conference and he said, he was introducing Gershon Sholem. And he said, Kabbalah is Narshkeit, but the history of Narshkeit is scholarship. That's a great, isn't that a great line? You know? Come on, Jeff, where are you?
You got notes in there. Interesting.
Yeah.
So in 50 years, when we're coming through the archives here.
So why'd you put it down?
I was able to, because I got scared, because there were certain passages that I read with such intensity that I was actually able to conjure up Jimi Hendrix.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I never liked
Jimi Hendrix, you know. So, you know, if it had been Otis Redding, it would have been another thing.
So you just decided to go through like none of these experiences?
I have the Shari Yosher. When I'm done with the Shari Yosher, I'll look at other things. If I'm not done with the Shari Yosher yet. The Shari Yosher, the Shav Shmaisa, you know, these are the Ikar, the Or Sameach on the Rambam, you know, this is, you know,
when
the Shiltos, the Netziv on the Shiltos. I don't know all those things yet. When I know all those things, then I'll have room for the Shir Koma. Right? Then I'll have room for it.
Get up from the pulpit and start quoting Shari Yosher.
Did you see you read a Bachar there? So you read a Magid Mishar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one. That one's great.
Bar-Lev?
It's a nice
signature.
It's a wonderful addition, Israel.
Listen, I wanted to just mention, I asked God to send out there. I just want to tell you how wonderful a man Rav Michal Katz was. Zecher Tzadik Livracha. You could really say Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who passed away. And he was Me'anshei Ruchenu. He was very much opposed to not reading the Sugya, to just having Yedios, to the culture of just quoting Shitos without reading the text. It was very important to him. You didn't do a Chakira until you'd studied the Sugya and you had problems and you had a number of points that you were trying to be Mitaretz. And he was always, no matter what ridiculous question I asked him, he always answered, B'sever panim yafot. He was always just a wonderful, wonderful person. He was kulo Torah, Rav Katz. And he was always taken by the fact that he started teaching here the year I was born. But he one time said to me, we were walking in together for the investiture of Professor Joel, and when he figured out that I was born the year he was teaching here, He said to me, Lamrota Parar Bishanim, despite the gap in our years, Anachnu Chavarim B'Torah. He says, Kama Yafeze. You know, so that's a nice thing to say. That's a, you know, it's a, he was a very, very sweet man who had tremendous hasmada, you know, he lived for Torah, very distinguished descendant, and on top of it was a distant relative of mine, we're both Kohanim. So, it was...
Josh Uter has a small thing on his blog about the...
Did he take Cullen with him?
Cullen
with
him, yeah.
So anybody had the privilege of studying Cullen with Rob Katz. I think Jeremy Fader learned Cullen, if I remember correctly, with Rob Katz. He was a wonderful man, and we will not see his like in the yeshiva again. So I say Yehi Zichro Baruch. It's a tremendous, tremendous loss. Today we're going to get into the mind of Psak Halacha. The Inyanim of Siman Kuf Vav will occupy us in Hilchos Basar V'Chalav, and therefore Ein Sorech. Liyached es adibur on efshar l'sokto aser in Tarugos. We're going to see that in great detail in the Hakdama to Basar B'Chalav and to in Siman Tzadi Beis. So I'm going to nidaleg al kufav because we'll see the inyan in Basar B'Chalav in greater detail, and that's where it really belongs. The same way we left the inyanim at the end of Kuf Hei on Melicha, we left for Melicha, because we'll do them together where they belong, and we'll see how they fit together. So today, we are now, therefore, and in Kuf Zayin is a Chazara on Devarim HaMa'usim, which we saw in Beria, if you remember, the Zvuvim, etc. So we're going to therefore go right to Kuf Ches today, and you'll understand why then we're in Kuf Ches. And which means then that following today, we have a little bit to do on Yavesh B'Yavesh, and I'm going to do a little bit introduction of Sveik Sveika, but it means that we are imminently starting Basar B'Chalav, and I'll ask you to try to make sure that you at least have a tape or whatever, because the Basar B'Chalav, I include sources which you're not likely to have done on your own. So if the introductory sharing are always, I think, the most important. So to the extent that there's ever anything that I would say that would be important, they're going to come in those first couple shearing. Okay? Now, we want to understand the material that faces a posek. And we're both the diversity of Talmudic material and also the various klalim of psak with which we have to work in order to come to a psak. If you were here on Sunday or you heard the tape, you know I made reference to two sugyas. I unfortunately couldn't copy. I only made one copy of each. But I made reference to two sugyas, one in Psachim and one in Avodah Zarah. The sugya in Psachim is on Ayin Vav, right at the bottom of Amud Aleph, the top of Amud Beis. Amar Rav, Bisar Shchuta Shamein, if you had fatty kosher meat, Shetzla'oim Bisar Nevele Kachush, that you roasted with lean Bisar Nevele, Usser. Now, we remember from Kuf Hei, if you'll look back, and you'll see in Kuf Hei Sif Dalet Sif Hei. Let's flip back, as a matter of fact, for a minute. In Kuf Hei Sif Dalet Sif Hei. You'll see that Isur Kachush, when you have Isur Veheter, and they're roasted together so that they touch, then if the Isur Kachush, if the Iser was lean and the Heter was Shamein, then the Iser only asers the Heter b'negia k'dei netila. But if the Iser was Shamein, then it's as if they were cooked together in Oser Bekulo. That's when they touch. Our Sima now, this sugya comes to talk about when they're not touching. When they're Rachok Zemizeh, on as Rashi says, the Tanur, the Shnei Shipudim Zeh Rachok Mizeh. Sheharayach min hashamein nichnas lekachush umifatmo, and it lefatem, it nurtures it, so to speak, right? Like tarnegolim mefutamim. Have you heard that that expression? Right? What does it mean lefatem tarnegolet? To fatten it up. Okay. So Rav says when you have besar shchuta shamein. Shetzlaoim v'sar nevela kachush asur. My tama mifat me mehadade. That the reyach of the nevela, the reyach of sari, of the besar shchuta shamein, goes into the nevela, is mifatein, and causes reyach to come out, even though it's kachush, and normally reyach wouldn't come from a kachush, that reyach comes out. So it, the reyach from the shamein heter, goes into the Isur as mefatem and causes its reyach to come out, and it asers the heter shamein. So what does he tell you? He tells you, we'll see, that reyach is so potent a source of Isur that even when it's derivative, even when it's one level away, even when the reyach comes from the Isur, goes into the Shame, into the Iser Kapush, comes from the Heter Shame into Iser Kapush, and then goes back, even that Asers, even that Reach Milsahi, he says Reach is something, it's something else. That's how I'll translate Reach Milsahi, okay? Excuse me. Velevi Amar, Afilu Besar Shchuta Kapush, Shitzlaoim Basar Nevela Shamein Mutter. Levi's at the exact opposite extreme. Even if the Nevela was Shamein, was Basar Shamein, and it doesn't have to go from the Heter to the Iser back to the Heter, but we're just from the Iser directly to the Heter. Why? Because Recha Lav Milsi. Recha's no thing. It ain't no thing, right? Okay? Okay, now, so we have these two, we have machlokes betarte in two things, between Rav and Levi and the Sugyim Safi. Pass this down for anybody who didn't see it. Pass it down, okay? So we have a machlokes in two matters. Our, the Gemara in Pesachim is talking about when you have these two foodstuffs in an oven. She'enam nogin zeh bezeh. The chom of the tanur causes the reyach of the isur to go out and be absorbed by the heter. Ad kidei kach that you can perceive the taste of the isur in the heter. In such a case, we learn here in Maseches Pesachim, there's a machlokis amoroim, Rav and Levi. Rav asers, even when the besar shchuta is the shamein, and its reyach has to go into, travel across the oven into the nevela, and be mefatem and cause it to bubble up and come out and go the other way. Even in such a case, ad kidei kach, he asers recha. Levi, on the other hand, kol shekein, he would say, if you had isur shamein and heter kafush, kol shekein. Even for him, it's even usher where it's isur shamein and isur kafush and heter shamein, right? He's a kavachomer if the isur itself was shamein. Levi, on the other hand, says it's mutter even if the nevela is shmena and the shchuta is kakusha. The kol shekein, where the shchuta is shmena and the nevela is kakusha. Yotzei mizeh, that they stand at two complete extremes. And therefore the Gemara defines their shitas to say, Rav holds that reich is a milsa, something to worry about. Levi holds it isn't. Now, this was the only sugya we had. We'd probably say, Hilchasa kirav b'isure. So we paskin. Rav, like Rav, and we'd say, Reicha milsahi. But we have another sugya. This is a sugya in Avodah Zarah. And this will awaken us to the question of systemization in halacha. That psak halacha is systemization. Yeah. No, Levi holds if they touch like everybody else, he'd agree.
Right, but I'm saying, is that the only thing you hold that they can make one usher if they touch?
Yes.
Ah,
no, we didn't say Zaya yet. We're only saying Reicha. So we're going to define this to be only Reicha, and only when the Rechokin Zeh Mizeh. They're so far apart then that it's only through the air. It's only the odoriferous smells that can cause this to happen. Okay? Now, when you go through the whole sugya there, which you'll do at some time in your life, I'm certain, you will discover that most of the Tanaim that are cited there agree with Rav. So if we only had the sugya in Safin, we'd say Hilkasuk the Rav Bisurah and Mashma the Pashtas of the sugya is like Rav. Reicha Milsahi. Therefore, we would say Lechat Chila and B'di'evet. We cannot roast two items together where one is Iser and the other Seter and hope to remain capable of eating. They're permitted to eat the Heter. Even B'di'evet, it would be Aser. Come along the Sugyan, Samech Vav, Amud Beis and Avodah Zarah. The case is a case of Yein Nesech, wine that belongs to Akum. If it's mutter to a Jew to smell it, to see if it can continue to be worth something, Lehis Kayeh. So the Gemara quotes, Hai Bas Tiha. A Bas Tiha is a nekev, Rashi tells us, that they put into the side of the barrel, and they would have like a little cork or something in it, and you would be able to put a little Bas Tiha. The Tiha is the hole, and the Bas Tiha is the little straw or something that they would put in the side so they could actually smell the wine. Now remember that this wine was stored undiluted. And the smell was very, very strong. Probably not a pleasant smell. Bas Tiha Ove Kochavim Bidi Yisrael. Yisrael Bidi Ove Kochavim. Abaye Amar Aser, Rava Amar Mutter. Abaye Amar Aser, Reicha Milsahi. Rava Amar Mutter, Reicha Lav Milsahi. Both sugyas say Reicha Milsini. Here, though, we have Rava. That's the Machlokas Abayi V'Rava. And here we have an even clearer principle than Hilchos HaKarav V'Isurei, which is a general sort of observation. I'll pass this down if anybody wants to look at it. Okay? Here we have a stronger principle. In a Machlokas Abayi V'Rava, we know that there are only six cases exclusively in which the halacha is like Abaye. In every other case we've been told, Rava is determinant. Those six cases, Ya'al Kigam, starting out with Yei Shalom Idas, right? Okay. This is not one of the Ya'al Kigam. So here's the question for us. Does the fact that the Gemara uses the words Reicha Lav Milsehi in both places mean that the two sugyas are talking about the same inyan? Even on the surface, we could make very many conceptual distinctions between them. What are some of the conceptual distinctions we could make? One is that you actually have, one is you're just smelling it, right? You're smelling it, right? Not for the purpose, that's not how you get hana from wine, generally, although I'm told the bouquet is important, right? Not the kind of wine I drink. Okay? Shapiro's didn't have a bouquet, generally, right? You know, Shapiro's had a, you know what Shapiro's saying used to be? So thick you can cut it with a knife. That was their marketing campaign years ago. That was Kosher Wine. So thick you can cut it with a knife. Right? Right? Not a dry wine. Right? Not a very dry wine. Okay? So here's the question. The two cases aren't the same. One is Iser going into Heter. The other is just to, for a secondary purpose, to take a whiff of this wine, right? Shelo kidera bederech hanason. But the sugya says in both places, Reicha Milsehi, Reicha Lav Milsehi. Our initial point, starting point, should probably be to say the sugyas are related. Okay? If they are related, then because we paskin like Rava, Reicha Lav Milsehi, then we would paskin like Levi in the sugya in Psachim, right? Brian? In Avodah Zarah, Rav says you can smell the wine. Time to wake up and smell the wine. He says you can smell the wine.
Right.
It's mutter. Okay? Many cliches today. You can smell the wine. Why? Because Reicha Lav Milsehi. If that's the case, and that means the same thing as the Sugya Psachim, then it must be that we paskin like Levi.
I understand. That's not my problem.
Yes.
My question is, why is it that we are assuming, that we would even assume, just because it says Reicha Milsehi and Reicha Lav Milsehi, that the two sugyas are the same? Both, the only similarity, yes, there's an issue of is there a smell or not, but then any sugya that has to do with olfact, you know, with the note, with smelling, should fall, you know, we should be asking that question every time. Meaning the language of Reicha Milsehi is sort of just an
Doesn't it appear to be like a halachic klal? So either you hold Reicha Milsehi or you don't hold Reicha Milsehi.
So why don't we just say it's not?
Or why do you say it's in small letters? In other words,
halachic klal, but it just the fact is the situation in both the situation in Avodah Zarah. The reason, let's say the situation of Avodah Zarah is they're using Reicha Milsehi because you are actively trying to smell something. So the question is, I mean, you actively need to do this. The question is, does that smell still exist? The other case, you're not sticking your nose into anything to do this, but it's the language because it has to do with smelling. I mean, it just happens to be that the language is the same.
Okay, maybe that is the case. Maybe we will say that. But I would say to you that when you have a machlokas in one place, which says shomei ka'oneh, and then another place they use the expression shomei ka'oneh, your starting point should probably be that shomei ka'oneh means the same thing in both places.
Why isn't the starting point the cases and not the maskana?
Because the Gemara didn't satisfy us just with the cases. It just didn't give us a case and say usser or whatever. It said why. It gave us the principle.
So, okay.
So did it just do that for an academic... Or did it do that because it's all up in Naf Gemina?
But in each particular case, the principle... I mean, if I look at the two cases, if I have these two cases in front of me, if I have these at the same principle, I'd be less inclined to automatically try to juxtapose the principles when I know that the two cases are completely... They don't jive within the practical, here's my actions and here's what I'm doing.
Okay, so the point that we want to say is this, that we want to start out and say that if they use the same language, we should at least investigate as to whether or not it means the same thing in both places. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, let's see. Okay? What's at stake? If we would say that the sugyan psachim depends upon the sugyan of Vodazara, then we would have to paskin in Masechus Psachim to Levi, who holds like Rava, to Reicha Lav Milsahi. On the other hand, if we'll distinguish between the sugyas, then we have no proof from Raya, from Rava, and Basar Shkuta, Basar Nevela, the Tanur Echad. We would therefore then probably apply the other klal, the Hilsacha to Ravi Isure, and therefore we would distinguish between them. And we would paskin like Rav and Sufi. Now you probably won't be surprised to hear then. Yes, sir. Sorry?
Can we infer anything from your sugya first?
I wouldn't know how to do that in a halachic context, but I would, because in a halachic context they're all contemporaneous.
Okay.
Right? Our job is to systematize, right? Okay, so it doesn't really matter. But I'll think about it. Okay? So you shouldn't be surprised to hear that how you referee these two sugyas is a machlokas rishonim. Right? There are those who maintain that the proper path to the understanding of the sugya and avodah zarah is to accept the simplest explanation and explain that it means the same thing as the sugya and psachim. And so write Rashi, and to a certain extent, the Rif, but with a certain twist. On the other hand, the Rush, the Bala Ma'or, I think Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, and Brian distinguish between the two sugyas. And they paskin like Rava and Avodah Zarah, and like Rav and Psafi. Okay? Now, it's too faint there to read, but if you'll look at the Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, you'll see that there is a way to paskin like Rava in Bas Tiha and like Rav and Psafi. When you look at each sugya separately, as some poskim would be wont to do, you see that the force of the sugya psachim, where most of the authority cited hold like Rav, you would paskin like Rav there, you'd paskin like Rava in the other sugya, and then what would you need to do? To uncover a svara that allows you to distinguish between the two sugyas. There is one special factor, therefore, this derech says, that motivated Rava to matir abastiha. The yayin is undiluted and very strong, And the reyach is maziko. You take, you know, we used to tell you in chemistry lab to walk things over. You shouldn't smell very strong things that can harm you, right? So the because the reyach is so strong, you therefore it doesn't have mamushus of or hashivas of yayin, and because it's mekalkel, it has a deleterious effect more than it has a beneficial effect. Smelling it, reicha lav milsahi. So according to this explanation, reicha lav milsahi over there means something different than it means in Safi. What motivates such a shita lahatfila? The need to respect the pshat of the sugya in Safi and the pshat of the sugya in Avodah Zarah. The pshat of the sugya in Safi is clearly like Rav. Rashi just says, because I've got Rava in Avodah Zarah, I paskin not like the pashtus of the sugya in Safi. For him, the Rava connection is overwhelming. But the other derech is therefore to say that there's a special factor that makes reicha lav milsahi by the yayin. One such suggestion is that the reicha is mekalkel, and therefore that's why Rava matir, but that even he would be moda that reicha milsahi in the case of roasting together in an oven. Now I'd like to call your attention to another tendency among the Rishonim, particularly among Tosus, that I think we've mentioned before that you'll find enlightening. Even when we have a machlokas, it's all embracing. There are no other opinions. So therefore, we see the two opinions in each Gemara as exclusive. According to this then, if Rava holds like Rav in Safin, then Tosfos has a tendency to want to explain that Abaye maintains like Levi in order to have the two opinions be exclusive. That's a svara chitzona, exogenous svara that underlies Tosfos. I'm sure you've seen it before. Okay? So therefore, we need a svara for Tosfos. Why Bastiha? Why Abaye asers in Bastiha? But by Basar Nevela, that's roasted with Basar Shchuta, he would hold like Levi. If we say Rava holds like Rav, then we want to say that Abaye holds like Levi, even though it's not really necessary.
Why are we doing that?
Because there is a tendency to see the Machlokes as being all-embracing. That there's only two opinions. And if you hold like one on one side, logically you could hold like Rav in,
Sure he could.
But Tosfos wants to see if they can make the two exclusive. Okay? And therefore they make the following suggestion. They say that Abaye himself, if Rava has a special reason why he is matir yei nesef, because the reich is rods mekalkel, but otherwise he holds reich hamilsahi, they want to say that Abaye has a special reason why he offers it, but that he also is on the other side, he holds reich halav milsahi. But why does he offer it? Okay? Because in the end, you're meirichin yein nesek shebe'ein. You're directly experiencing yein nesek. So that Abaye says, he asers it even though he generally holds reicha lav milsahi, namely, the reicha that wound up going from the Iser into the Heter. You don't have Iser B'Ein anymore. But there are grounds to say that even Abaye, who matirs could be matir Recha as Lav Milsahi, but still Aser Ye Nesach. In other words, when you break Eli the connection between the two sugyas, they want to demonstrate that you can really break it completely. And you can have A say like B and B say like A in either sugya. Okay? And therefore, what would be for Abaye the difference? If for Rava there's a special factor that makes the Reach of Yein Nesech Mutter, even though he holds Recha Milsahi, then for Abaye there could be a factor that makes it Usser, even though he holds Recha Lav Milsahi. What is that factor? Because you're directly experiencing Yein Nesech. Masha Ein came for him when it's disembodied Recha. Okay, so Tosus suggests that Abaye might hold that disembodied Reach Lav Milsahi, but embodied Recha is a Milsa. Yes? Here's what I mean. One logical difference between the two, I think, by the way, if you try to follow me on this, I think you'll profit something methodologically, you know, in terms of your own learning. That's the point of this. Let's boil it down to the difference between the two cases. You've got this oven that's like one of those shawarma ovens on Atlantic Avenue. Okay? You're getting a new shawarma place in Teaneck, so let's say in Teaneck. Okay? Yeah, there's one here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, if I can get a mention of Teaneck, why not? Raises my property values. Right? Maybe somebody will listen to the tape. They'll say, listen to the MP3 file. They'll say, oh, there's a shawarma in Teaneck. We should move there. Okay? Now, so what do I have? I got this oven. I got these two shipudim. I got the sar nevela on one of them, Rachmana Litzlan, and the sar shchuta on the other. Okay? Afterwards, I'm not going to eat the basar nevela. But you want to cut me some shawarma from the basar shchuta. Am I directly experiencing the basar nevela? No. I had the reyach of the basar shchuta that went into the nevela, and then it was mefatem, and it caused it to come out into the air, and some reyach of the nevela came back into the shchuta. Right? Okay? That's disembodied reyach. There's no Iser Be'ein there. Could it not be that someone would say, I'm machmir for you to directly, here's a cup of Yein Nesach, directly smell it. But in such a case, I hold Recha Milsahi. But I don't hold Recha Milsahi with disembodied Reach that went in. That's what I meant. So these Rishonim point out that it is possible to make each person's, each side of the machlokas, maybe this is a better understanding, Ellie, to make, excuse me, each side of the machlokas exclusive to its own sugya. That the one that asers reyach in avodah zarah could matir im sachim, and the one that matirs in avodah zarah could Aser himself eat. If you've done that, then you said they're completely separate sugyas. And therefore, you're not constrained by Rava in Avodah Zarah or Rav in Safi. Okay? Now, if you think about it, you'll see these principles always at work. What I want to get to the point is that you see two sugyas and you know that they're involved. You're reading the Beis Yosef or the Tur. You're mechavein already to what the strategies that Rishonim Maposkin will do in order to abstract halacha from them. We've rendered them conscious. Okay? The Baal HaMa'or in Tzofim has his own explanation as to why Rava could matir the reyach of Yein Nesech in Avodah Zarah, but aser the reyach of Nevela in Sukkim. And he answers another question through his teretz. The vered of Avodah Zarah, what's a vered? A rose. Okay? See, a rose. A vered shel Avodah Zarah. V'chein hadas. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Asur l'haricho. You're not allowed to have the reyach of Avodah Zarah. So why should it be mutter, according to anybody, to smell Yein Nesech wine? So the Bala Maor explains that wine isn't made for smell. It's made for taste. And therefore, when somebody smells the wine, it's not l'shem hanah. But it's only stam to be mevarer if the wine can last or not. What stage of spoilage or aging is it at? Okay? What do we profit from the Baal Ma'or? Therefore, Rava could say what he says by Yei Nesech and it not constrain us for the Sugya Imsafi. You're at war here. Milchamta Shel Torah. You've got the pshat of two sugyas and the demands that each would make alone versus systemic concerns. The best but hardest solution is to break the two apart logically and consistently. And that's what's happening here in the Rishoni. This is a wonderful sugya of halacha, for my mind. Very informative about methodology. Now the riff introduces, I'm sorry, I couldn't copy it, I would have liked to read it with you. The riff paskins like Levi, the Rechem Lav Milsehi, the Chain Karava. But the Rif, for other reasons, reads Levi as only being Matir the Dieved, and that he also asers Recha the Isura Lahatchila. He explains that Rav, how does he get away out of the sugya like Rav? He explains that Rav is Azil Lashitase, that mean bimino afilu ba'elef lo batil. And therefore he can dispatch with Rav, because we don't hold like that. So after he links it to Rav Shita, you should take a look at it. If you have, you know, maybe I'll write it up and send it out. Let's see how the psak winds up. That is a very nice sugya in halacha. See how it all works together. I hope you appreciate it, because this is like the ikar of my shita, to show how moving pieces and what the issues are that face poskim, right? To see textual-based issues in psak. Okay? Let's look at this Sif Aleph. Okay? Somebody want to read for us Sif Aleph? So how do we paskin like Levi, but aliba de ha rif, the Yevet only, okay? Fafilu. So if it's like a kira, and it's totally open, right? And it's gadol, so that there, it's, you know, it's got a lot of space in it, so that the reicha doesn't move back easily from one and the other. Then it would be mutter afila achila, but you need both of those conditions. Okay? Yeah, well, you might as well finish it up. Right. Right. Afilu lehatchila. Right? So what do we see? If it's covered in such a way that reach can't get in, and they're not nogin zeh bezeh, then it would be mutter. Hence, what's the size of the ovens that they heat up airline food? Pretty small. But that's why the package remains covered and sealed, right? And that's why it's double wrapped there, okay? So that there's no inyan of recha milsahi. And therefore, the hatchila, you can heat the food in the same oven. No inyan of recha milsahi. The oven is too small for it to be done open, but if they're covered, afilu lachila mutter. Okay? All right? Now, let's look at the shach, sif cut and vase. Kusach. Kusach, which is milchix. So if you baked bread in an oven where you were roasting meat, even though reicha lav milsahi, for basar b'chalav in inyan here, we maintain that the bread can only be eaten with parv or with fleishix. Why? So where does that, what's that as far as reminiscent of? Absolutely. So since it's possible to avoid the inyan, the shach paskins like the Rambam. So how do we wind up? We wind up that the, like the Rif, that the language of the sugya im Sufim is a language of the Bidyevin. And in fact, by the way, the Pshat is there, right? Basar Shetzla'o, right? That you did it already. Not that it's Mutter Litzlos, right? So we wind up with the, like, Levi, that it's Mutter B'dievet. And, yes.
Baking versus cooking wouldn't play a role in us, meaning bread is, meaning, you know, bread is baked.
So?
Now, I know that the, in the end, that the methods are the same. Would there be any distinction?
Meaning, no, well, we would say,
the,
look.
Meaning, it's not there, it wouldn't be anything of a deraita nature A.
No, that's right, because it's not okay. Cooked.
So, but we still consider it, we subsume it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now, what all they're pointing out is you'd have grounds on the basis of reicha lav milsahi to say that the bread's not fleishik.
Right.
But we follow that acha toklenu the Easter toklenu behati, you can do it completely.
We follow this blanket. I mean, is this pretty much a blanket?
It's pretty much, yeah. That's why, by the way, it's pretty much blanket. Yes. Okay. All right. This is the major inyan. It's the major fact. It's the basis of the entire psak for our sugya. Okay. Now let me just go over procedurally what we're going to do. Okay. I'd like you, wherever you're at, whatever you're up to go to Kuf Tes for Sunday, because I want to go over some inyanim of Yavesh B'Yavesh, something. Now, the sperm sale has arrived. If you do not have your Basar B'Challah volume, then get it. Okay? Because we're going to start Basar B'Challah next week. The first Shi'urim are very important. If I ever say anything important, I'll say it then. If you can imagine me saying anything important, if that's not too far from the realm of possibility, then it's going to happen then. Okay? So the fact is, you want to make sure that you have either tapes or you're present to participate in the Basar B'Challah, the opening Shi'urim. There are going to be several on Pei Zion. And we're going to do a lot of Chavis Das and a lot of Prima Gadi. Okay? And this is going to be an opportunity. During Basar B'Challah, we do a lot of Prima Gadi. I don't know if I'll get to the Hakdama to Basar B'Challah on Sunday. I think I'm going to save it for Wednesday. Okay? So that'll give people a chance to sort of, catch up and get themselves into the, into the mood. I'm going to tell you in advance during Basar B'Challah exactly what I'm going to be doing each time, so you can know exactly what to pray, which se'ifim, and which things you might want to look at. Okay? I think it's a good idea to try your hand at the Prima Gadi. The way that you learn method is to try to puzzle something out yourself and be confused. Then, when I do it, you'll understand it better. You'll pick up, you'll see where you didn't read it correctly or whatever, but it's good to try to do it yourself. And before you realize that just the Prima Gadi has a certain style, and if you've done a bunch of them, this is my chance to get you past the hump on the Prima Gadi. Do you remember how difficult Rashi on Chumash was when you first started learning it, and then you figured out how to understand what's bothering Rashi? And you learned how to figure it out, right? Prima Gadi, we're going to learn his elliptical style, but you'll get used to it. Once you solved it, he's easy to read. Okay? So we'll do a lot of Prima Gadi on Basar B'Challah. And we're going to do a little crazy or placey too, okay? Particularly on the first Siman, and some Chavis Das, okay? So that's sort of where we stand, okay? We should be by Purim pretty much. Pretty far through Basar B'Challah. Pei Zion is going to take a while. Tzadi Beis is going to take a while. The major inyanim that we're going to concentrate on are Hanan and Efshar L'Softo, right? And we'll spend a little bit of time also making sure we understand all the genesis and how the inyan of waiting came about. It's something that I think that you're going to want to know well, because it's going to rear its head all the time. And we're going to do a lot of practical halacha, a lot of psak in Basar B'Challah, because Basar B'Challah is now the application, the specific application of all the principles we learned through Tarugos. So each time we'll ask some practical halacha questions and try to answer them each time we do it, okay? So we pretty much go Basar B'Challah, we should be done by Basar B'Challah no later than Bedikas Chametz, no later, maybe before, which means that after Pesach we do Shechita and Melicha, we do 4 Shiurim on Shechita and maybe 6 on Melicha or whatever, and then that'll finish us up, okay? All right, anybody have any questions? Okay. Concerns? All right, so I'll wish everybody, if it's not too soon, a good Shabbos.